Now, as we jump forward to the 1600s, see how I jumped nearly 600 years. Immigration began into the New World. Of course, it was found in 1492. And at that time, there were beginning to be immigrations to the New World. And these are four distinct Wooldridge immigrations. Okay? Now, I'm sure there were some trailers and some folks running point, but these are the ones that can clearly be identified, and there is written record or some evidence of a mass movement or a mass immigration. And again, the spellings are not exactly. So if you go back and look at the historicals information to these four, you'll find all those variations. Woolrich, Woolridge, Wooldridge, et cetera, et cetera. In 1630, the big wave went to Massachusetts. 1662 hit Maryland, and 1681 hit Pennsylvania. 1690, the fourth hit Virginia. And the person that is identified in the Virginian escapade, if you will, the Virginian group, was John Wooldridge, who was actually born in the Lothian region of Scotland in 1678. Okay. I hope y'all brought number two pencils so we can do the test together afterward. It'll be open PowerPoint, so there won't be any. Now, it's going to be kind of hard to see, but this is the Great Commonwealth of Virginia. And if you will come about halfway, can anyone see Halifax County, which is the bottom about halfway along the base? If you'll come up two, I'm sorry?
It's green.
Yeah, it's green. If you'll come up two counties kind of northeast, you'll see Prince Edward County. If you can't, that's fine. I'm having a hard time seeing it myself. But Prince Edward County is where, when the Wooldridges hit the beaches, apparently that's where they stopped. They came inland, and that's kind of where they ended up, was Prince Edward County. John Williams came there and had two sons. I'm sorry, John had Edward, who had two sons. Okay? Simon and William. So we've come from Prussia, Scotland, Virginia, and we have John who had Edward, and Edward had Simon and William. Now, if you're not asleep yet, stick with me, because we'll get to some really good parts here in a minute. Simon was born in Prince Edward County, that's the PEC, 1750, died 1830. He had Ralph. Ralph had Josiah, and Josiah had Henry, who is here. Okay? You'll notice Simon and Ralph stuck around in Prince Edward for a little while. Josiah was born and decided Prince Edward's not kind of where he wanted to hang out. So he took off and headed to Williamson County, Tennessee. Anybody know where that is? Where's Williamson County, Tennessee? Thank you very much. That's where Henry was born, in Williamson County, Tennessee. If you'll notice, Josiah died 1825. Henry was born 1822. So he was three, if I did the math right. He moved to Mayfield and passed away in 1899. Now, where do I come into play? Well, I'm on the other side. I'm one of the other two. I come down through the William side of the branch. So we have John, Edward, having Simon and William. Henry comes through Simon. I come through William. And you'll notice that the William group, kind of, they had antsy feet to begin with. They didn't stick around Prince Edward very much. William had Simon. Simon was actually born in Hardin County, Kentucky, and then went to California. Figure that. Took off, went to California. Before he left Kentucky, he had Hercules Hicks, who was born in Spencer County and died in Shepherdsville. Roy Darrell was born in Spencer County and moved to Louisville, where my grandfather was born, Darrell Lee. Darrell Lee passed away in 77. He had my father, who was born in 43, and my father passed away in 79 in Louisville. I was born in 66 in Louisville and moved to Murray in 1980. Now, the interesting story as a sidebar is my step-grandfather, who is Al Bloom. I don't know if any of you know, Al Bloom used to own the Irvin Cobb Resort many, many years ago. We used to come down and fish and hunt and camp and just had a wonderful time. And having lived in Louisville for so long and then coming to Murray in West Kentucky, I can remember as a young child being impressed that there were actually trees and grass and animals that ran free, didn't have to have collars on, and just a whole different world, and fell in love with it. And I always wanted to move to West Kentucky. Not that I didn't love Louisville, but it was just a wonderful, wonderful area to live in. And so I moved here in 1980, went to Murray State University, and my son and my daughter are obviously from Murray as well. So the interesting thing is when I came here to visit as a small child, my grandfather used to put me in the old Ford Country Squire station wagon, and we'd take a trip to Mayfield. And he said, I want to show you something, and he brought me to the monuments, which, you know, at my young age was, hey, that's great. Okay, where's the ice cream? But as I've gotten older, the irony of it, as well as the facts and the interesting and the heritage have come to mean more to me. I just put a map up there. I know most of you are familiar with the area, but if you will look up in the upper middle quadrant of Kentucky, there's where you'll find Shepherdsville and Spencer County, etc. Really just kind of a place. And here's Tennessee, so you can see Williamson, which is south of Robertson-Davidson, and I think you all are familiar with that. The interesting thing is, and the irony for me is as well, that we kind of all started in Virginia, and part of us went south and part of us went north, and I find myself within 30 miles of each other, given only a few hundred years difference, but some of us moved quicker than others. So a little bit about the monuments, and I'm going to pass out some information here. Actually, my cohorts here are going to do that. Just to talk a little bit about the monuments and talk a little bit about Henry. As many of you know in the story, Henry is the only one actually buried in the cemetery. He has a number of monuments, which you'll see, statues, that reflect folks in his life that meant something to him, his nieces, his brothers. Of course, the horse, Fop, and the two dogs, Towhead and Bob. And a couple of statues of him as well. Just a couple of interesting facts about Henry. Obviously a native Tennessean. He was somewhat of an eccentric, and that's to actually say it lightly. If you read any material at all in more depth, you'll find that he took great pride in his blue blood heritage that he felt he had, and he strived to have the best looking horses, the best looking carriages, and was proud to show them. He's a great lover of hunting and horses. He had a fiance who, and again, if you know the story, was actually killed in a horse accident at her home in Tennessee. She was his one true love, and he never married after that and never had any children. One interesting fact is that he is reported to have worn their engagement ring until his death. Never took it off. Moved to Mayfield in a drought year. I just put that in there because, you know, how apropos is that right now? It's I don't know about everybody, but the drought that we're having is, it just stuck in my head, and I thought I'd throw that in there. So, but it was in Mayfield at the time. There was a drought going on. And another fact is that he traded in fine horses, so he did fairly well. Some particulars about the monuments. The center one is of Henry, and you'll see that, and you probably see that in the picture. This one was carved out of Italian marble. It was actually carved in Italy and shipped over here for a grand total of $1,000. Now, I haven't done the math, but I'm betting $1,000 in the late 1800s was a lot of money compared to today. Can't even venture a guess, but I would imagine it was some pretty sizable dollars. The three statues in the back were actually carved in Mayfield by a tombstone carver here in Mayfield, and then the remainder of the statues were actually carved in Paducah. The limestone was mined out of southern Indiana and brought here, and the total cost of this entire procession that never moves is $6,000 in $1,800, $1,896. Now, just very briefly, what I'm going to attempt to do, since I'm technologically challenged, is to, that's not the one. There we go. Anybody remember the ice storm? I've always been a WKMS supporter. I have been for as long as I can remember, at least since 1980. I can remember going to sleep listening to Hearts of Space and listening to WKMS on a regular basis. WKMS was extremely important. The importance of that station was clear to many of us when the ice storm hit. In some ways, it was the only information we were getting out of Murray and the area. And when that ice storm hit, of course, we were all looking for heat and showers and food. But I remember a small comment that was made during that presentation was, and the tree has fallen on the Wooldridge Monuments. And I thought, yep, knew it was going to happen. The tree that was hovering over that, when I saw it in the 70s, was near death. And it was massive. For any of you who have lived in this area or been by that, the tree was massive, it was dying, and it was just a matter of time. Unfortunately, the ice storm ended its time. And at that time, my wife and I were looking for a place to run to find heat and food and showers. But when we were able to get back into Murray about a week after that and the roads were clear, I got in the truck and headed here. And the pictures that I'm going to show you are pictures that I took on site. And it was quite concerning to me. Parker, why don't you come over and sit and kind of arrow down this for me, if you would. As you can see, old Henry's not looking too good here. The tree kind of picked him up and carried him into the fence and took out a brother's head with him. And you can see the size of the tree, and I appreciate the Mayfield City, who actually came in and started cutting trees and started clearing trees. I had gotten there about a week and a half after the ice storm actually had hit and moved out, and there was already some work being done there. However, if you guys remember that, there were a lot of other areas that needed help besides the Wooldridge Monuments, a lot of other cutting of trees and work that needed to be done. So I think there was a lot of good work done here, but there were higher priorities at the time. Parker, if you would. Old Henry and his horse, they lost their heads together. Another one, please. She didn't fare too well either. Next one, please. This is from the back. So you can see that the ladies in the back didn't do so bad. The ones that had been getting all the front picture shots from all the ads, they got taken out. They didn't do so well. The tree is there to the left. You can see the dog to the down at the base, and you can see the extent of the damage. Pretty much wiped out everything from Henry being on the horse forward. Another please. Parker, there you go. This is looking at it from the rear left. Again, Henry's been cleared of his stand, knocked off his pedestal, so to speak. The girls in the back are looking good. The tomb lid was somewhat damaged and moved. The sarcophagus or whatever the proper term is for that. Next, please. More of the tree. Again, please. That's looking at it from the left front side. It'll actually be the left side, looking at it from the front. You can see how the horse has been spun, and you can see the crack in the right of the top of the tomb. Took a lot of the hit from one of the main trunks. Again, please. That's looking at it from the front of the monument. And that's my truck in the back. And that's a clear sky with no ice coming out of it. That's a good thing. Next. A little closer shot of, I didn't actually climb on the tree, but I did kind of get in there so you could see some of the damage. Next, please. Next. This is the deer, I believe. I think that's of the deer. And there's some of the fencing in there that you can kind of make out that was kind of crumbled up with the tree. Go ahead. Next. And there's old Henry. Head in the ground and legs in the air. I think that's it. Go one more. So those are my pictures. I'm sure there are tons of other pictures out there. My main concern was theft. And I was really concerned about the loose pieces. You guys would pass these out, please. When I arrived to the site, someone had already started to collect those. I was concerned that Henry's head would show up on eBay, and a couple of arms and legs and a deer and a dog would, and I could see us all in the Wooldridge Clan spending lots of dollars to buy back stuff. But I very much appreciate the city of Mayfield's hard work in actually rounding those up. There were still pieces there, and again, obviously, at that time, living human beings and their needs and taking care of those that were suffering from the ice storm far outweighed the needs to come get a bunch of limestone pieces. But I had really considered picking up some of the pieces and putting them in my truck and bringing to the garage. However, I'm sure Mayfield's finest would have probably not been real appreciative of me carting off artifacts. So, but the city was very, very diligent in grabbing those. The book that you have is the restoration book that was put together for the particular restoration. I'll tell you a quick joke. As the district director for the Murray State University Small Business Development Center, I attend the Purchase Area Development District meetings here in Mayfield on a fairly regular basis. And not long after the ice storm, the previous mayor was there, and he was presiding over the event. And we have to sign in as guests. And he's read my name as a guest for quite a while. But this particular time, he read through it, and he stopped, and he said, "Wooldridge, why does that name ring a bell?" And so I just kind of slid down my chair, and he said, "Are you here?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "The estimate repair cost is $150,000. You may leave your check at my office or at the purchase counter." And I said, "I'll be happy to leave you a check, but it won't clear." But the fine work that Mayfield and everyone who came together to restore this monument is greatly appreciated, and it's been a tremendous, tremendous restoration job. As you can see in your booklet, and I'm just thumbing through a couple of the pictures that you have with you, the restoration attempts, there are actually the artifacts that were recovered, the horse's head, Henry's heads, the parts of the dog, the horses, the legs. Quite a massacre went on, apparently, at this place. We have body parts everywhere. You can see there the bodies that were recovered to the left, and then we have, 7 heads that were collected. Everything was categorized, well-maintained. On page 8, you see the restoration, the artisans that came in to do the work, the cranes, the heavy equipment that was necessary to move these. They're not very light, being limestone and marble. And again, cut off at the knees there on that picture. But a lot of good work, a lot of folks coming together. It was just a tremendous effort to restore this monument and continue it to be the tourist destination that it has been for Mayfield. Nothing like getting your head put on straight, right? I'm going to close here in just a second, and I want to do that with a little, a little bit of a observation for me. As I got there at the ice storm, or post-ice, after the ice storm, and took my pictures, and I kind of stood there just kind of looking at the damage that was done and not really knowing what was going to happen to this monument. And I took away a couple of thoughts with this as I left. And I wanted to share those with you, and I think they're kind of maybe life lessons, at least for me they were. One thing, never think you're so strong you can't be knocked off your horse. Henry had been sitting there for quite a while and thought he was in good shape. And just like in life, storms can blow up. And you never know quite how bad that storm's going to be. And for old Henry and the group, I doubt that they thought that the storm was going to be that bad. But the storm came along and knocked old Henry off his horse. And that's true for all of us. The second thing is, with the help of others, we can all come back from the storms of life and get back on our horse. And for me, that's a touching point in that we saw a lot of good work that went on with these folks. A lot of folks came together to fund, to work, to help, to put these folks back in the positions they were in before their storms hit. And at least in my life, that's true. I have times when I'm down and I'm blessed with folks that helped me get back up on my horse, and I would imagine that a lot of you are the same way. So taking a couple of philosophical life lessons from this, from these pieces of granite and limestone and marble that have had better days. And then just as a little funny, I thought, sometimes it's better to be in the back than in the front. And for the ladies in the back, they saw it all, and they didn't have to worry about it. So that's kind of all I have for my presentation. And it's 11:25, so I'm sure it's starting to get warm out there. I'm happy to take any questions, or if you have any questions, if you want to shoot them to me or get them to Dr. Lochte, I'd be happy to make up something and tell you something that might be somewhat true. But that's in the vein of my friend Bob Valentine.
Hey, Chris, can you tell any tales about the family people?
The one that sticks in my mind is actually the one of the horse, where he's riding it as it's being delivered. It was reportedly on a transport device, a wagon, and a person who consumed too much alcohol was looking for a place to hang out, and when it was delivered, he actually was asleep on the back of the horse leaning up against Henry. As the horse was brought into Mayfield, this passed out drunk was on riding the horse and leaning up against the back, which from what I've read did not please Colonel Henry very much. I think he was quite upset about that. He was not a great fan of his father, from what I understand. Of course, he passed away early, as I pointed out, so you don't see a whole lot of statues to his dad, but he did care for his mother quite a bit. He wasn't shot in a stream, though, so... Yes, sir.
When he moved up here, he actually settled down there around Louisiana. We mentioned that earlier.
Oh, is that correct? I have read that in one instance, but I have not seen that across the network, so that very well may be the case. Is that right? Was it a pretty big farm? And
I don't know how big it was.
Yeah.
It was coming up to here, if you know the area.
Mm-hmm. 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 I often wondered if he had an off-site for his horses, and that may have been where he kept the horses. He was quite a horse trader. He traded in other things, but primarily horses. So that very well may be where he kept them.
Do you have any information on the rolling blade?
I do not. I've wondered that myself. I haven't found any information out on that. There was a Wooldridge clan that came up about, I guess, a month or so ago, maybe even 2 months ago. There was a reunion here, and I wasn't able to attend that. But I've wondered if that was a case, but I really can't speak to that. Yes.
Did they get a grant and then they collected money? How did they get something?
In the back, seems like in the back there was a discussion. There was some grant money that came in.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't remember how that came
about. Needless to say, my check didn't clear for... Here it was a. There was an application to the National Register. Yeah, here it is.
Oh. Okay.
The Restoration Monument Conservative Collaboratory LLC out of Connecticut. And I have copies of this. If someone's interested in it, I'd be happy to send them. It was received. Let's see. Well, this is dated April 2010. They're the suppliers and the workers.
Is that Monument Conservation Collaborative? That's the public agency that organized the restoration.
And I know they were ready to get it started because some of them would call me and say, "We're really, really ready to get these out of the warehouse. Let's get this thing put together." And the previous mayor worked very hard to get that pulled together and all the folks that were doing it, so I'm very appreciative of that as well.
I know you said that you were afraid about the vandals coming and taking pieces.
Mm-hmm.
What is the vandalism like here as far as the monuments? Have they been vandalized?
None. Now, there initially were, there was an ear pulled off the dog at one time, and I think somebody... I'm sorry?
A couple of them got turned over back in the 50s, I think.
Yeah.
And put the fence.
Mm-hmm. Which brought the fence in. But as far as regular, really none. I don't recall there ever being spray painted or showing up on the top of the Murray State Stadium or any frat events or sorority events. But surprisingly, they haven't been. Well, not really surprisingly. I mean, this is a great community, and this is a great area to live in, so we don't have a whole lot of that. At least I'm not exposed to a lot of that. And Mayfield does a wonderful job policing the area and keeping that kind of thing from happening. You know, just the one or two incidences that over the span of how long this has been up to have not been done any worse than it has been is quite remarkable. To say that a tree took it out before spray painters or anyone else got a hold of it, but it's been very well looked after, and Mayfield has really done a great job in overseeing it and keeping it safe. Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and then I think we're going to take a drive out for those that want to go out.
Chris, thanks.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we're at City Hall, we're sitting between 6th and 7th Street.